work, the most important thing is that there's a good steady pulse. And you don't have to have parts that are of the same length. And a lot of the dances are only nominally called because in each community there may only be one or two dances that are always done. And people are perfectly happy to dance the same dance 3 times in the evening. And that's it. If they have 2 dances, they'll dance the one dance and they'll dance the other dance. And then they'll start over with the one dance and the other dance. It's kind of hard to imagine if you go to dances and, you know, the thing that seems to be fun is that you never know what's going to happen next. And the thing which is fun in Quebec is everybody knows just what's going to happen. And a lot of that is because everybody knows everybody. It's very, very much more, you know, being the group of that is everybody from that village is kind of a nice way to say we all know this without making a big statement about it. I thought I would play some of the tunes then that are a little bit out of that to start out with. So I'm going to play a tune that is used for very ironic, for contra dance. Sorry, it is used for contra dance, which is called the the brandy, which means just what it means in English, the brandy. And it's a contra dance that looks an awful lot like Skip the Willow for the dance scholar people out there. And seems to be principally done in one area of the province, which is the Saguenay-Lake Saint-Jean area, but a lot of different, it has gotten around to any number of places and exists in any number of versions. And the thing that's special is that the tune that is almost always played for the dance is always the same tune. In other words, you wouldn't just play any tune for the brandy. You really do have to play the brandy, which is the name of the tune, as well as the name of the dance. I learned this particular version from a fellow who I've spent the most time with in Quebec, whose name is Louis Woodrow. He comes from Chicoutimi, which is a fairly small town, about 110 miles north of Quebec City, and is from a great dynasty of fiddlers and step dancers. And the particularity of his regional dance tradition is there was an awful lot of step dancing done. And the brandy, you always step dance all the time. All the dancers were step dancing all the time throughout the entire dance. So it was a real kind of there was an aspect a little bit of the competition of who would wear out who first. The other thing that's lovely about this particular version is that in Mr. Boudreau's family, there were really great step dancers. There were a couple of step dancers who were just phenomenal in the family. All of the same branch of the family, the Bayard, who was on his mother's side, were great step dancers. And Louis' dad, when he used to play, it got so where he, in order to honor these 2 or 3 really exceptional step dancers, he made up variations to go. So when they would get to the top of the set, and they'd really be able to show their steps because they'd be traveling down the set, he would go into their variation. So Philibert had his variation, and Edgar had his variation, and Albert had his variation. It's very spectacular when you think about what you can do with just a little tune, but this is all a product of there being this real strong family tradition. So this is the brandy, what Mr. Boudreau calls the brandy de Bayancourt, the Bayancourt's brandy. And this would normally just be played like I'm doing it right now, which is just the fiddle player playing by themselves and pounding it out on the floor, which you won't really be able to hear, but that's okay. It may probably be good not to hear too much of it. Kind of weird to be playing this music in church. Actually, French Canadian. Thank you.
Last night we heard some real great Scandinavian lighting by Brian Pete at the concert, and you know, the coveted Winter Augusta I Closed the Ice House Award. We closed the ice house last night at 5, playing Scandinavian music. So I wonder if Marianne, you'd come down and play.
Very common tune in Sweden. It's sort of like the soldier's joy of America. This is the one, if you know one Swedish tune, this is probably the one.
Thank you. the Hawaii city, from Java. So if you're in the south, there's less music. Or you're close to Norway, it's less music. Close to Finland, it's very less music there. And even in the same country, different values, it's just very different. So we have just many different styles. Some are using very much to double stops, and some are using very much ornamentation.
Ornamentation?
Yes. So it's just very different.
Mm-hmm. The harmony playing is sometimes improvised, and sometimes there are traditional harmonies that are pretty set. Is that right?
Yeah, mostly two fiddles. Or there's also other instruments. If some people like the music, they took the instruments they had, the pump organ and the flute. It's all in the Mediterranean music orchestra. They use the flute to the clarinet. And there are also some wooden flutes that are really shows. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can work right around this way. Joe, you've got, when I think about Joe Herman's fiddling, I think about some of the young bands that are playing today that are really pumping up the old time music, playing real hot dance music. Joe, what can you give us, tell us about what you and Kurt Holler are doing these days, music wise?
I learned was influenced a lot by the Virginia upstate New York. People that learn. A lot of people in upstate New York have been influenced from the Southern music, and then it turned into a certain kind of sound that I guess developed just in New York. I assume starting with the Highwoods and on down from there. And I've met a lot of those people and been influenced by people like the Henry family and John Specker and Sandy Stark and Bob Ness, people like that. That's my influence. And that's a lot of rhythmic dance type music. So when I play the fiddle for like a week like this, that's what I'm trying to do, play a lot of rhythm so you can dance. So I'll try to play one like that.
Thank you.
know. I think that's right. It's an era of people that came to this music after having first been through rock and roll. And I think that's the... That's not funny. It's true. It's really true. So. Good answer? Yeah.
Well, I want to do something diametrically opposite, I guess. And I retuned for this one. That would be diametrically. It's going to play a Bruce Springsteen song. I've been working on it. Not ready to play that. This is one of those tunings that they use for, I call them special effects. They're good for a couple of tunes. They have great sonority. I used that word earlier in the week and somebody said, what is it? And I couldn't define it. But if you know what I mean, then you know what I mean. Style relates to singing in a way that, well, if you've taken my class, you know that all film music relates to singing with me. But this particularly is, I think, a way of singing that looks really direct. And I always think about this kind of thing when I hear people like Ginny sing or Dean Ritchie or some people that to me go right to the edge of what I like about film music and singing. They meet. You know what I mean? She knows what I mean. It's really almost impossible to get in tune when you retune for about an hour or something. Because the fiddle doesn't mind. The fiddle has to get used to it. So, this is called The Stormy Banks of Black River.
Thank you.
forget the guy's name. I learned it secondhand from a collector out there. Some fellow that's gone now.
What was it? Stormy Banks of Black River.
Kevin.
Most of them were I knew from school and stuff. Like, my parents grew up in Sligo, and then moved to London. And I was back to cousins where I. So a lot of their neighbours and neighbours' relations were living in London. People from the Sligo area and a lot of them played music, so they'd often come to the house and play music. And the recordings that my parents had were mainly the great Sligo fiddlers, like Paddy Glore and Michael Corner and all that. So that was the basic influence that I had. And then of course when we go to Ireland, for me it was a holiday, for them it was visiting their home. I'd seen Sligo music played in Sligo. And then when I got to be about 14 or 15, old enough to sneak into a bar or travel about the land, I started meeting and hearing a lot of people from different parts of Ireland, getting to know them socially and musically. I started spending time with people from Clare, people from the north of Ireland. They all have very different styles. And I've borrowed bits and pieces from anyone who I like, you know. wherever I could, or wherever I had the notion, and incorporated it into my playing. And at this stage, like, I'm still ripping off bits and pieces, but don't tell the people here. So I haven't already infiltrated. But so at this stage, it's definitely Irish music that I play, but it's very hard to describe it as a Sligo style or a fair style. Most people do describe my playing as a Sligo style, but it's not really. Like, if someone wanted a good example of Sligo music, I wouldn't recommend that they listen to me. I'm just a sort of it's a bit like my accent. You know, I've got a bit of an English accent and a bit of an Irish accent, and I use bits of American phrases here and there. So the music's the same. I've got the basic building blocks of what I learned from the Sligo player. Any noise that I like, I try and incorporate it. And I'm still doing that.
I want you to think about what these people might do to me if you come back here next year sounding like me.
Like, I've put a retina in here, so it doesn't seem to have done the trick. Maybe next year, for West Virginia, through rock and roll and New York, upstate New York. Like, I used to listen to rock and roll music a lot too. Some of it must have stuck. I don't know. I didn't borrow from it consciously. I'm sure some of it stuck. Did I say the right thing?
Well, the idea today is to present as many styles as possible, and Bo has offered to give us a little example of some Texas styles.
Yeah. I play Texas fiddle music the way Kevin plays Sligo music, with an out-of-town accent. Michael, would you play guitar with me, perhaps? It would be a lot easier for me. In the Texas fiddle playing, we've heard a lot of dance music this afternoon, but a lot of the big thing out there is contests And when the guys aren't playing for dances, they're probably trying to outdo one another. And so you hear a lot of tunes that start off as two-part tunes and they come up to be five-part tunes or something. And hey, Tom and Jerry. So this is a big contest tune. A lot of the guys I listen to play it a lot. Stole a bunch of things to do. It's called Tom and Jerry. In a contest this afternoon. We're in high cotton, fiddle player wise. And I'm thrilled to be hanging out with these guys.
Don't they say Texas too?
I've never been there to play the fiddle, so
probably one of my favorite little old country years.
How much of that is improvising?
With me, more than I would like. I always surprise myself, because I've got an idea of what I want to do to the tune, and so I've got these chops, but I never know exactly when one of them's coming out and in what sequence. So I've got, like on that one, I had basically probably four, maybe five parts. And I've got an idea of when they're going to come, but the actual phrases within them are sometimes kind of out of left field. There's an element of chance, and if you listen to the jam session records available of some of the big, big Texas fiddle players like Benny Thomason or something, they'll try to paint themselves into a corner and see if they can weasel their way out of it. And the really exciting records, you'll have four or five fiddle players, and one of them will wear out a tune, and then another will pick it up and try to outdo the last guy. It just gets hairier and hairier, and you find some pretty weird licks coming out of the fiddles at that point. And sometimes that happens to me, and sometimes I'm not really thrilled with it, but you just get in a little jam. You run out of bow, or you find your left hand in a in a little corner, and you got to find some notes to get your way out of it and back into a tune.
Is it sort of the chord progression that you've got in your head?
Oh yeah, absolutely, because you got to stay with the chords, and that's what always brings me out of it. That's the way I pull myself out of it, is to just find something that goes with the chord that's happening and get back close enough to the melody that people won't start giggling.
So it's a lot like jazz, really.
Yeah, there's a heavy element of jazz, and all the, you know, the swing band fiddle players, like Bob Wills fiddle players, they were all contest fiddle players in their spare time. And so they took that back to the fiddle music. They took that jazz that they were playing in the dance clubs back to the fiddle playing, and that's where a lot of that craziness came into it.
Brian?
Sure. I learned how to fiddle in San Diego, California, which is down by the border. And I imagine that the only native fiddling in that area is mariachi music. But I got involved in a lot of country dancing out there, and I was a dancer for 2 or 3 years, and then decided that I wanted to learn how to fiddle. So there was a lot of different styles going on. We had a country dance orchestra. We had a classical violinist, and we had a Texas swing fiddler, and we had an Irish fiddler, and we had somebody from Virginia that had moved into the area, and I don't know, we had a couple other, all types of different things. So I was hearing at any particular dance, I would hear people out in the hallway playing all these different things. So my style is sort of eclectic, I guess. I sort of picked up little bits and pieces of things. So everybody else here has played really hot examples of the kind of things that they do, and I'll just do a tune of my own, which just kind of puts bits and pieces of these different things that I've heard. And I started out as a dance fiddler, so this is a dance tune.
What do you call it?
Well, I call it Souls Real. A friend of mine, that's his name, he had a birthday, and I wrote this tune for his birthday party.
Kilby Snow, who's a rock, he was playing certain chords and it suggested a whole other way of playing the tune to me. So it came out sounding not very much like Shady Grove to love me.
Well, for all the fiddlers here this week, it's been a real treat for me, and I'm sure for you all to get to know Lotus Dixon.
Yeah.
You wouldn't notice me. That's all. Well, I found, like one of the gentlemen said, there's lots of different styles of fiddling, lots of different approaches to a piece. I think when we learn by ear, we absorb what we hear, and we hear a lot of different things, and we sort of all get a little style of our own, you know, maybe just slightly. No two maybe plays exactly like. What do you think about that? Basically the same, but I learned from old timers way back. I heard my first pieces and very slowly absorbed some of it. And as time went on and radio came on, then I began to hear what we call good fiddlers, you know, from the, WALS, Chicago Barn Dance, Renfro Valley, Grand Ole Opry, and a lot of good fiddlers, you know. And you gradually learn new pieces, and I read music a little bit, very sparingly, to learn a new piece. My brother had gotten a J. Greeland hornpipe book from Sears Roebuck about the mid-20s, and he'd learn those, play them, and I'd follow him with the guitar. He'd start out slowly, back up, and I'd back up, just following with the guitar. Well, I learned a lot of them that way. They just hear them, and then later on, as I read the music myself, I confirmed that, you see, and read them. But just play them offhand by ear and add a little, ad lib a little, you know. We don't play it just exactly the way the notes are written. But that was the way I found my music. And I thought of three here, putting a little medley. First one's in D, the Oyster River Hornpipe, which is out of that book. And the next one also, the Weller's Reel in the key of D. Then go to, back to D, to the Green Fields of America. You may be all familiar with the tune, but wait a second for me.